Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Tactical Tuesdays. Thanks for tuning in. On these episodes, we'll be diving deep into different areas of marketing. And again, we're going to be going in the weeds. So stay tuned. We hope you learned something and we'll see you soon. Hey everyone, this is Kevin, joined again with Megan here at Array Digital for another Tactical Tuesday. Today, me and Megan are going to be talking about sales and how sales definitely relates to your law firm, but it's a big part of starting a law firm. You know, as you start your firm, you're just wanting to be a good lawyer, but you're immediately a salesperson, you're in marketing, you're running a business. And so I talked to a lot of clients and friends that are lawyers that, you know, kind of struggle with the sales side of things, the intake. You know, you get a lead, but how do you convert that lead and make sure it's the right fit? And have a good process for that. You know, I just hear it talked about often. So I'm obviously in sales here at Array. Megan's got a lot of background in sales. And then she also, if I sign on a new client, it's handed off to her to kind of keep that relationship and make sure everything's taken care of for that client. And so that is a part of sales, right? It's that relationship and that whole journey is connected. So Megan, we'll just riff today and talk about kind of your background. I'd like to hear your background, you know, before coming to Array with, you know, the sales kind of side of things. And then we'll kind of talk about what we do here. And hopefully the audience out there, the lawyers can relate to that and apply it to their law firms. Welcome awesome. Back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back. I think this is a organic, natural next step to talk along our string of conversations here. And I'll start off by saying this. Everything is sales. I think a lot of us know that, right? So let's start with my background. I mentioned a few weeks ago that I started off after college in car sales. You learn different kinds of sales tactics and practices, but that thread is common through everything you do, essentially. Moving into my client relationship management role, where I was starting to really build out my career, we had a different side of the business development side, similar to how Array operates right now, which is we have Kevin, our account executive, come in, hand off to your account manager, your client advocate, being someone like myself. It doesn't stop there. There's a journey and a life cycle ahead. We talked a little bit about the client journey and setting those expectations. But along that journey, there will be opportunities that we want to grasp to upsell. Because realistically, not every client will renew.
Oh, I like where you're going though. Because I mean, you know, some of these law firms, I mean, a client comes in and they become a client over and over again. So if I got a car accident, never had a lawyer in my life, and now I need estate planning, and that firm handles that too, or I need a family law matter, or I need whatever, and then you refer your family, and so that it kind of builds and expands. You're not guaranteed they'll be a client forever, or they're going to refer you more business. The risk of bringing on a client that doesn't refer you, like the lost potential revenue.
And I think that it's really important as well to understand that we're not just guaranteed the sale. It's not something that's not your right to be earned of someone's business. Essentially, you have to prove your value and your worth and why you're trustworthy and why you'll give them the results that they're looking for and why they should come back to you in a repetitive way and refer you to other individuals. And something that we know a lot businesses struggle with in general, but especially my clients that I work with in the legal field and our listeners today, is that initial intake phase. So the sale hasn't even happened yet, but they're in that sales cycle once they come in, their first contact with your firm. And when we say first contact, it's a lot of different ways. They might have been aware with you before they call you. Mm-hmm. There's contacts that happen before two-way communication happens. So that's when we talk about ways to multi-thread our opportunities and our people here. So it's not just getting them through a web advertisement, but it's, you do flyers. You know, I live by the beach. You see the planes flying over with the banners. Yeah, I see that all the time.
I have those here too in Virginia Beach. So
exactly. So that's multi-threading your prospects and getting them in other ways. So LinkedIn message, a commercial, radio, things like that. So they're touch points before they ever come to you where it's two-way communication. They're aware of you before you're aware that they're aware of you.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's, you know, video on your website or an article answering a question of theirs, or, you know, there's all kinds of ways that hopefully they're warmed up. Yeah, I think the biggest thing is you can spend a lot of money on all that stuff, marketing, advertising, radio, TV, you could own all of it. But what's the experience when they actually reach out? Does it match what they think? Like, we're, you know, you could, your message or ad could be all about how we take care of our client and we respond and we're always there to answer your questions. Is that true when they call? Does someone pick up? You know, does, you know, so that's where you have to look at this whole thing, right? So the first contact all the way through, they've been a client for 5 years. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. And do they show, you're sitting in that client's shoes there, showing that you want their business, right? And that's an okay thing to do. Follow-ups are really important. And I know that I've never been bit by this bug, but I do know a lot of people that are just more hesitant around multiple follow-up because you don't want to come across like you're bugging someone. But that's where being purposeful with your targeted approaches and not blanket campaigns across all canvases here. You're not going to win when you do that. That's a sure way to really get people upset and for you to become irrelevant. Once you have an irrelevant touch point for someone, yeah. I know for in my mind that I'm like, well, if you didn't take your time to learn about me and you are taking the time to reach out to me, there's a big disconnect there. That makes me question how you operate as a business.
Yeah. That means that you want the sale. You're not looking at the value you can add to that person. So, or that, you know, client. So yeah, I think for me, this is me in sales, right? If I have someone come to me and I'm like, man, we can really help them and this makes a ton of sense and I've really like done the research to figure out their situation and I'm really sure that we can help them versus like, well, I hope we can help them. Like I'm going to follow up a lot stronger than if I'm kind of like, I'm not really positive if this is going to be the right fit for them. And it's, you know we provide a good service, but it depends on where they are, their budget, and you know, there might be some things there to kind of figure out. And on the flip side, though, there's some, you have to be okay with saying no. Like, I don't think this will be a good fit. You know, I don't think you should stretch and pay us this because it's not going to get the result you need in the time that you need it. So, you know, you got to be comfortable with, hey, this isn't the best fit. I actually had a lawyer on not too long ago, and they have requirements. You know, it's for personal injury. Like they had to have had surgery and had the doctors, like all the, like if you haven't, then you're not a fit for them. They'll refer you somewhere else. And so that's just one of the things they do. So,
yeah. And that's the other thing on the flip side. So you can tell people, prospects or some businesses no, but trying to get an actual no from your prospects once they come in and they're just leads is really important too. Because
a lot of time saves right
there. Exactly. You don't know. They need to get a response. It's okay to keep pushing until you get a response, right? As long as you're doing it properly and appropriately. It's something that a line that I've used a lot in my career. Kudos to my colleague at the previous company I worked for, who came up with this one-liner for all of us, and I used it today. But it's, pardon my professional persistence, is an opening line that I use a lot of the time. I use that when it comes for especially for deadlines that are coming up, and you got to respond to me, or for those situations where the use case scenario for the positive returns that we can gain for you, it's undeniable, right? And I'm not getting a response from you. So, you know, especially if there was an inbound lead in the beginning, we need to close this chapter of communication here. So there is professional persistence that is accepted. And I think that it helps to call it out in the beginning of those interactions because you're setting the stage. Like I'm aware of the persistence here, but there is purpose behind it because this is a professional conversation that I'm trying to either enter into or close with you. So you know, really seeing through, and that shows also, it follows along the lines with who you are as a firm. So as you're, what you're putting out there in your advertisements as that firm that is, that has integrity, they are responsive and they will get back to you. That follows through with your intake process, like you said. So if you're going to be that firm, it's not, we'll follow up with you if you call us back. No, we're going to follow up with you even if you don't call us back, because you still, that you're licensed to do that once they come to you, right?
Yeah, you raise your hand, you have this problem. Have you solved it? If you haven't solved it yet, then I'm going to be reaching back out to you. So,
and I'm going to be your champion for it. And if I don't hear back from you, I'm going to give you new ideas for how others in who have had this problem have resolved it. And that's how you change your follow-up and be relevant with them without just saying, are you still interested? Do you still have a problem? Well, of course they do. And they may not be responding to you because this is, because it's a big problem. So getting them to respond in the right way is a dance. And that's why you try multiple times.
Yeah.
That's another layer I'll add on to that as well. I'm sure we have all had these experiences. I'll give you a for instance here.
A for instance. Here we go.
For instance for you. A product that I used to sell at the industry research company. We worked with lawyers who, we worked with accountants who would use our information for forensic audits. So they would need backdated industry reports. And it was an upsell for like to add the archived reports for their services. So I could email a client as a friend who's a forensic accountant every month offering a discount to sign on for archived reports every month, 8 months in a row. And month nine, when I'm like, I've emailed every month, they're not gonna want it. I'll get that email that says, Megan, I need to look at backdated information. Do you happen to have anything that would help me solve that? Even though I've been telling them, trying to get them for the past 8 months, but now the need is here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The value is not realized and perceived by them before their need occurs, right? So they knew to reach out to me for it because I'm their person. But yeah, you can't give up. You can't give up for it, and they'll come around.
Yeah, well, that's huge. I think this is what I've seen. I've owned an agency for I don't know how many years now. I think I was doing the math the other day. It's a lot of years, 18 years or something like that. I don't know.
Qualifies as experience, yes.
I still have hair a little bit. Here's the other thing. I'll have a law firm reach out to me and then they sign with someone else. I just had this happen the other day. Hey, Kevin, and they loved everything about us. You know, it's, and it's like, yeah, we signed with someone that didn't have a contract, you know? And so, it was like, well, I could have talked to them about that and maybe arranged something. We can be flexible, but they just made a decision, looked at us and said, all right, 12 months, not doing it. Month to month, that's what I'm gonna go with. And I've had people sign with other people for lots of reasons. Budget, you know, my marketing person just has got a relationship with these other people, you know, whatever it may be. And that's totally cool. And here's the thing, a lot of them have come back, you know, a year later or 2 years later, and I still have a relationship with them. And so you gotta consider, say you're I like using estate planning because it's like, it's one of those things where you have a need, but it might not be like a personal injury urgency need or a criminal defense type of thing. So you have to really work and sell and follow up with them. Hey, did you get that trust done yet? Did you get that will done yet? And so a lot more sales involved in like a estate planning attorney, I think. But just because I went with someone else doesn't mean I had a great experience and then I can't come back. And so you want to keep that experience really good regardless of the outcome. Follow up with them once in a while, check in to see how they're doing. Don't try to sell them anything, but they'll remember that and say, you know what? I'm not that happy, so I'm going to go back. And you want them that to stick in their mind and be like, and here's the other thing. This will happen too. Well, I signed up with XYZ firm for this, and it's not been great, so I'm not going to refer anybody to them, even though I'm going to continue using them for now because I don't feel like switching. And then, hey, who do you recommend? And then you refer the firm you didn't even sign up with. So you just got to think about all those things with how you talk to people, how you treat them. And if you get hardcore salesy, they're not going to be interested to talk to you. You got to walk that fine line of
professional persistence.
Yeah. You know, I hate following up with people a lot because I'm like, oh, I hope they don't think I'm trying to follow. So, you know, you got to walk that fine line, and because it's not just the current sale, it's future sales and referrals from that person that you're talking to.
Yeah. We talked about 2 weeks ago, you have the grandmother who walked in, and her life cycle for the sale, for her client journey cycle, was just half an hour, but her son's is, you know, years and years and years. It's a lifelong client for life. You never know where that'll come from, which is why putting your best foot forward with valuable communication is really important. And I know we've all been in those situations. And I worked in car sales and I worked in the internet department. So I came from the environment where you fill out your inquiry on cars.com for something that you like, and it gets sent out to a bunch of random dealers, maybe.
Oh, yeah, and okay. And they'll start
you 5 days in a row. They'll call you 5 days in a row and leave you voicemail 5 days in a row. That was my job. And then after 5 days, if you don't answer, I'll call you in a week, like 5 weeks in a row, once a week. And then it goes into like a monthly cadence, stuff like that. But oftentimes our templates weren't great. And this is years and years ago, so I'm sure they've ironed things out, but this is just the natural things that happen, because these templates, this cadence, these campaigns don't just appear out of thin air. They are created. And if you're not going back and revisiting them and making sure that they are relevant, if you use systems and automations, you are getting the right formulas put in there, that your data has integrity behind it. It is accurate. Because there were points that we'd be sending off these emails automated, filling out a template, and it would say, thanks for your inquiry on make and model. It would read make and model.
Oh, wow.
Instead of the Honda HRV, which
not
is
not specific enough. Yeah.
Instead of the specific, right? So it would, that's bad. That's a bad look. And you'd be so, I'm still surprised a lot of the times when I get marketing and sales emails and you see these typos and these fields that are wrong, and someone actually still press send on that. Or when you do these bulks and they're sent out, like you.
There's errors. Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's got to be super specific to them, and they got to feel this, like, you know what they need, like it's specific to them. If you can get that data and plug it in there, that's great. I think, you know, we have a client actually that was trying to update their phone system, and they miss a lot of calls and stuff like that. So we were trying to help them navigate that. And I was like, what if we found you one that would actually call the leads until they connected with you? And they were just like, holy crap. Like, we don't have nothing like that. So, which means a lead comes in for the law firm, and then if they don't connect with that person like that day, then they just fall off. Like, they're not really, they don't have a way to keep reaching back out and follow up time and time again. And so I think that's a big problem. I think it's, you know, a lot of smaller firms too. I doubt they have a system good in place for, 12 touch points. I mean, that's kind of the magic number, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Follow up 12 times, that, you know, because they just send a text or a message or fill out a form and you'll never hear from them. That happens to us all the time. Yeah. So,
and 12 touch points across multiple channels is also an important part to that. If you're just having those touch points across email, that's inefficient. And I don't know the exact statistic on this, and this was years ago that I even heard this, but I think about it a lot. Maybe my sales coach at the time was telling this to us just to get us motivated, but he wanted us to send more emails. But what he told us was that it takes how many times? It was like most people don't respond until after like the sixth touch point.
Mm-hmm.
And most salespeople give up after the third.
Yep.
You don't continue. So there's a few layers on that I'll pull. One is, do you have 12 touch points? Do you know what 12, like, if you're going to keep going down that road, do you know what step 12 is? Because you don't want to be scrambling and scratching and trying to find something relevant, because newsflash, it will not be relevant if it's not thought through.
Or you might not do it because you're having to go to each one of them and try to figure out, what should I send them, you know?
Yeah. And then the next point is timeliness. So what's the cadence of that and the time between that? Is it, when are you doing that? There's a lot of statistics around when you can send out certain outreaches and what channels have, like, which channels have the best times to send a certain outreach to get the most results. Like for LinkedIn, when we post this podcast, that's thought through. So a lot of those things matter.
Yeah, the posting day, the schedule for when we even launched the podcast is based on data for when people will most likely be watching it. But I'm like text message is like, you know, 99% 100% open rate, you know, or view rate. It's going to be seen. It's on your phone. Bam. My chiropractor, I threw my back out like 6 months ago. And my chiropractor, they sell hard, man. I mean, they're no joke. They're like, oh, you need this plan. It's going to cost you like $4,700. And we're going to have you in here, you know, 4 days a week and all that stuff. And I kind of was like, whoa, chill out. So, but they text me every day. I got an appointment. And if I'm late or I'm out there, or I'm like, hey, I got to reach. They're like, we missed you. Where are you? We hope you come back. Like it's, but they send me text messages. I see them all, every single one of them. And so that's a channel that, you know, definitely should leverage, because the email, we know, I mean, it's a pretty small chance you're going to see that and care about it.
Yeah.
And a lot of salespeople or they just rely only on email. That's it. That's it.
Crazy. Only one type of email as well. So I'll sprinkle in some of my, like my favorite, this, which will work across all, which are, I should say, relevant across anyone who wants to use this, but some things that work, like typical marketing and advertising tactics, like, just the colors that you're using as well, just like that, the psychology of the sale. Invest in looking at this kind of stuff, like speak with a consultant. You know, what's really useful too, is like, if you use like ChatGPT and like ask it for advice and resources, say your industry, your specialty, say, list me. I use this to just poke around all the time. Like best practices for how to catch the eyes of certain XYZ. Like get the there's resources out there to get information for how to be impactful for the types of clients that you want to attract. So I will say that. And the other one is, as a nod from Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, continuously sharpening the knife. So I mentioned before, you have your templates. Are they relevant? And is your data updated? But are your messages and your sales tactics still making sense in today's world? The stuff that I said before, the stats, I had that sales approach taught to me, or I should say, I had that trainer tell me that statistic almost 10 years ago. Yeah. I'm sure it's very different. I'm sure there's more touch points now. I don't know what it looks like. I have to do that research, right? So don't just go off of what we know, what you think you know, because it does change. And if we're not challenging ourselves to look at new ways to learn and challenge our ways of thinking, then we're going to fall behind. Someone's going to be bigger, faster, stronger, and come take it from us. So continuously sharpening the knife of your sales practices and trying new things is really, really important. And I would also say, like, if you haven't read The Challenger Sale, I would read that book.
All right. The Challenger Sale?
The Challenger Sale. Challenge yourself to challenge your sales process. And the Challenger Sale essentially is saying that the theme is any road can take you there. And it's challenging your current processes and the way you're doing things. But the approach there is a sales tactic, which is saying, not just being agreeable to your prospects and saying like, oh yeah, that you're so smart and great, and stroking their ego, but saying, have you considered this? And it's a tactic used to create discomfort so they seek solutions.
I like that.
Yeah, so it's a good book to read, but I think that that's more of like the psychology of the sale, which is timeless.
Yeah, I did a ton of sales training. Actually, me and Eric, a few of us did sales training for probably like 2 years almost daily, where we videos and test every morning, and it was, you know, we just did it and learned just a ton of stuff. But just, you know, being aware of the situation and meeting people where they are, using different channels, super important. I think one of the big things too to add to that is, you got like the process for sales and the touch points for sales and all that good stuff, and you can be robotic if you're not careful, if you get into it too much. But one of the biggest things that's helped us and me here is we were kind of had a lot of constraints on like our products and services and how we did things. And you want to put everything in a little process, put it processed around it so much. It's like, okay, what do people really want and need? And that changes. So what are your service offerings? What's the terms of it? What's the process like, depending on what your law practice is. But you might have to make adjustments, I got firms that like they have flat rate, they have all these different options. Depending on what your practice is again. Like how are you handling things? What's the client looking for in a relationship with a law firm? What's your communication plan? So I just not just closing the deal, but like how are you changing up what your offering is that's gonna help you do that?
Yeah. And are your frontline people prepared to talk about how you can change and how you can be agile right up front? Because if a lot of people, what I've seen too, it's like when the cat catches the mouse, what do they do with it? So let's say we have our stages, we have our 13 touch points, right? 12, 13. Ideally, we don't want to get across all of those. What if it all goes according to plan? They respond right away. Is that person who that's getting through prepared for that conversation? If you have a big shark on the line here, right? You don't want to fumble it. So are they willing to talk through different types of packages and different types of services that you can do? Are they educated enough to do that and supported and empowered? We talked about empowerment last week. Are they empowered to do that? So you could see where this all kind of ties into each other, but this is all part of the sales process at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, and there's some pitfalls there too. I've had some law firms reach out and be like, I'm ready to sign like today. Like I just talked to them barely. And I'm like they're pushing the sale. It's like, that's interesting, but you got to be able to like, you're excited about that, but it's like, okay, well, why are they so eager? You know what I mean? So it's like, there can be some red flags there, right? Or you might skip some steps because you're like, ooh, sale, let's go. And then you skip steps and then expectations aren't set. They didn't meet the right people. And then they don't get onboarded properly because you're just like, wow, they just wanted to sign like right away. And so, you have to like go, wait, well, let me cover some stuff. Even though you're excited to start, like let's go through these steps together and talk about what you need to know. Otherwise, they're like, well, I didn't know this was going to happen. Oh, well, you wanted to sign so quickly. We didn't cover that. So, you got to have your people step back a little bit and not get too excited and sign up a client that's, again, wrong expectations or they're just not a fit.
I think that's also, you talk about like having data integrity, but also in having just integrity for our own time and our prospects' time as well. So, if it's not going to be best interest for the both of us, if it's not going to be a strategically harmonious partnership, then it's okay to not go down that path. It's fine.
I think that comes back to, just asking the good questions and understanding where they are. And, if it's like, I'm talking to like a few solo attorneys right now. They're like, I'm going to start my own firm in like a year or a year and a half from now. I'm like, okay. So I could just say, well, call me then. Of course, I'm not going to do that, but I've helped them a lot and spent some time with them. And, I want to help them, but how far do you go and how much time do you spend their time, your time that's invested in something that may or may not even happen in the future. So I think that's where you kind of, you got to keep it a little bit tight because you can spend a lot of time depending on what your position is at the firm. But, you'll get that kind of stuff too. I'm going to get my trust or my will, but I'm not doing it this year, maybe next year. Yeah. How do you even track that and follow up with that? If you don't have a CRM, you're going to forget that they even reached out to you. So there's some basics there too. I think you need to really get in place and have something that, you can log that conversation. Yeah, I talked to them. They said they started a firm in a year. I told them I'd reach out in 6 months, things like that.
And having a place to, you said a CRM system, that's huge. I'm a huge CRM nerd, but having that logged appropriately. Because another thing that falls into this category is once you pick up with that sale and they are ready to discuss, you don't want there to be gaps in information. like when you go to a doctor's office and the nurse speaks to the nurse, then you don't want to have to explain your pains to four different people before you get to the person that's actually going to be working on you.
That's the worst.
You're exhausted.
I've had that, you know, you go in, you do all this analysis and they're like, okay, what brings you in today? Like, what are you talking about, you know?
Yeah, you feel just, you don't feel heard. Simple as that, right? And then, especially when it comes to your health, like, and this industry we're in, and my clients are working with their clients who are usually not in very great situations. You definitely want to be more sensitive around those matters.
I think, you know, one of the ones that I hate, and this is not even much of my time. You ever like call somewhere and you're on just the automated phone line. And it's like, type in your account number and type in this and that, and you do it for various things, right? And then they transfer you to someone and they go, all right, can I get your account number? You're like, what did I just put that in for? <It's>
like, why'd I do that then? Yeah.
So you just lose all faith with that company immediately.
Immediately. I'm always thinking about how clients are perceiving us.
Worried about how people, you know, clients perceive us. Like, that's my biggest fear, right? Is I do sell a client and then I hand them off and it goes to your team and it goes to the rest of the team that's working on their stuff. And is that aligned with what I said? And, you know, or is my team going to come through? Like, there's all that in the back of your mind. And so if you're an attorney listening, like you're doing the sales, you're the rainmaker, and you know, you got to have a handle on all that stuff. Have you shopped your own firm? Have you looked at the processes? Have you talked with your team in deep, like, hey, let's make sure this all aligns. And this goes back to the customer journey, customer experience, and look all the way to the end and the beginning, right? And see like, where can we fix stuff, improve stuff? But for me, that's always, making a sale is almost stressful sometimes. It's like, okay, they just signed for, and that's me on the other side. Like, they're, you know, I'm the one that they signed with, not the company.
Yeah.
And that's how salespeople feel. If you have salespeople, by the way, if they don't feel good about what's going on the other side, they will not sell, or they'll find it difficult to sell. So you want to go to your sales team and say, hey, are we supporting you? Do you feel comfortable closing these deals? Is there anything you would improve? You know, bring them into the mix, I think.
And you can do anonymous like maturity assessments with your team. Keep it pretty objective, like yes or no questions for them. Like, do you feel like, you know, that you're supported and empowered to do XYZ? And, you know, get that pulse check.
I think that's a great idea. I'm going to do that to us. That's good. I think that's a great idea. I think, you know, again, for me, it's not just the owner, but in sales, it's, again, I build a relationship. They're putting their confidence in me, although I want that to transfer to my team. Like, I want them to have more confidence in my team, which is what I prefer. Like, I suck. They're awesome. Like, just if you like me, then they're going to love them. That's what I want to happen every time. And so I'll be like, all right, I just signed this client. When can we start their stuff? And they're, well, it's going to be like a month. And I'm like, oh, no. It's like, you know, and I'm like fighting for the client to try to push that along, you know? And so that's not how you want to be. You want to be way ahead of that and find out. And now that's how we used to do things. Now it's like, okay, hey, this client wants to sign. Where are we going to be? When can we start their stuff? Hey, client, if you sign today, here's what your expectations should be, and here's where we can be. Don't do it the other way around like we've done in the past, where you're skipping that, and you're like, oh, no, they're not going to be very happy. It's like, so you just started it off really rocky, and you just damaged the potential of the whole relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, we put our needs in front of theirs. You can't do that.
Yeah. Again, I think this goes back to where like someone wants to close real quick and then those things get skipped and then you got the wrong expectations set. Mm-hmm. It's also, I think, another big pitfall is you want to say the best thing. We're freaking amazing. We're the best thing ever. And so salespeople they're selling, right? It's the best thing ever. And then those expectations really get pushed up really high. And so you have to have a little bit of, well, let me show you a really good situation outcome with our client, but let me also tell you about one that's maybe not so good, or it's not quite where we hoped it was. You don't have to have horror stories, but you want to be like, you know, let's bring it down a little bit. And if that's still good for them, that still works, right?
Yeah.
Versus like, oh, it's going to be perfect the whole freaking way. We're going to crush it, knock it out of the park. And then they're signing on the expectation. And that might not be the case when you get going. So,
yeah. Letting them know that others have had been here before, too. And this is how we've worked and gotten through those challenges and hurdles that we've experienced before. So also showing that we are educated and experienced in getting through these hurdles with our clients. Yeah. And that we're in it with them.
Yeah. So, yeah, personal injury, you know, they're like, I'm sure they get a lot of questions like, how much am I going to get? And how much is my case worth? And, you know, those kinds of questions. Or I'm going to get a divorce and, you know, am I going to win? You know, there's probably a lot of that questions that come up, but it's, you know, you got to be able to show and talk through that, those outcomes and potential outcomes, but not, you can't guarantee any of that. So just, you know, not over setting the expectations. I think it's important, especially if you have a long-term client for sure. I mean, they're sticking with you for a long time, potentially. If it's a one-off case, it can depend on a lot of things.
Well, we let the results speak for themselves. That's a powerful thing that we have the luxury of in our fields and in the business that we do, because there is trackable data to show really where the, you can say the proof's in the pudding for a lot of these.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. You just don't want to highlight the best things ever for everybody and be like, hey, it's not always perfect. You know, your SEO, it's not always going to be up and to the right. It's not always going to be the market. If you're investing in the market, it's not always going to be up and to the right. So, you know, you just have to be able to have those intelligent conversations and set the right expectations and make sure that what you're selling them is going to meet their goals over time, right? Hopefully it's quicker and you want to go quicker. So it's definitely a lot of complexity to sales. It's not just a take a sales course and now you can sell stuff. It's you're working with people, you know, and you're working with a team of people and a client, and there's just a lot that goes into it.
And that's what you said there. I'll add in is like the continuous needs assessment to perform is you have to always be doing it and always be reassessing and figuring out what their goals are. It's not just a one and done practice.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a law firm and you got a client that signs up for a certain thing and say you do, maybe you're a general practice or you do lots of different practice areas, you know, you want to have a process for, if they need the help, right? How do you reach out and say, hey, we're so happy we got to help you with this one situation. If you know anyone that also would maybe need these other services, we offer them and be able to have that follow up. And at the end of the day, like if we do that, it's like we know it's going to help them because we can see it and we can say, hey, you should do this. Like it's going to help you. And, you know, really I'm working with Megan right now to like have our team be like more aware of looking out for the needs of our clients, not just head down on what they're helping them with at the moment. And, you know, if it's something won't help them, then we don't need to bug them with it. But, you know, so as a lawyer, yeah, do you have that kind of follow-up and upsell? And instead of thinking of it as upsell, you're helping them with a different situation. So, yeah, I don't know many law firms that I've spoke with, at least that have a really good system in place for that.
Yeah, I think that the big driving point here is that working firsthand with our law firm clients, especially our smaller law firm clients, is that sales is always going to be at the top of mind for really any business that you're in. But especially for these smaller clients, they're losing a lot of leverage off of flimsy intake processes, essentially.
Yeah,
we could say. And it's not a light task to recreate that. That's not just something that you can throw away and automate. It is an actual process. This is someone's whole practice that they run, right? There's multiple stakeholders that are going to be involved here.
Yep.
So it's a very topical conversation that we wanted to have here for the podcast to really encourage you guys to take a look at some of those processes, revisit them, and reinvent them. Change is good, and re-educate yourselves on what's working these days with data-backed decisions.
Yeah, again, for your solos, it's just we talked about a lot of different stuff, and just start with the basics. Like, if you get a call, what happens to that call? If the call drops and they got to call you back, or are you going to call them back? What do you just have this? Just start with some small steps. Like, how would I follow back up and get back in front of that person if the call got dropped or they needed to talk again later? And can I even handle that? Do I have an assistant, a VA, a CRM? And then if you're larger, to Megan's point, like if you're larger, changing this stuff and auditing your intake and it can make a massive change and difference in what you're doing. So it's constant. So if you're small, it's constant battle to work on this. And if you're big, it's even more important to constantly audit, what you have going on. We had a guy, gentleman, Ben Leader, on the show, and his firm spent no more in marketing or advertising year over year. And he worked on his intake, and they went from 160 cases a year to 530 within 2 years. Same marketing, same advertising. They just were missing stuff. Stuff was falling through the cracks, and they were able to do that and triple their firm. So,
yeah, there's a story for you.
That's a podcast episode. I can't remember which episode number it was, but it's Ben Leader out of North Carolina, South Carolina, personal injury, and awesome episode. So check it out. All right, Megan, well, I appreciate you coming on to share, again, we can just dive into each one of these things and just talk about them all day, I'm sure. But, just get started with, putting together a process, get a CRM, and, look at how many times you're maybe touching a prospect that called in once or sent a chat or a form. Are you even going back a second time? And I think you'll start to see some problems there if that's the case. So, excellent. Well, anything else before we go, Megan?
No, just happy selling, everyone.
Get out there and sell. It's part of your life. It's your business. As a lawyer, you don't sign up to be a salesperson. But you just put that hat on as soon as you hung your own shingle. So you might as well figure it out. And again, you're there to help people. You're not just selling them something. And I think you got to keep that in your mind at the end of the day. You're there to help them. And that'll serve you well. So everyone, thank you so much for another Tactical Tuesday and joining me and Megan here. We will be back at you next week. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. If you could just please leave a review on one of our podcast platforms, we would greatly appreciate it. For any marketing help with your law firm, please consider Array Digital at arraydigital.com.